talk a little bit about the Farm Bill. That's been one of the top priorities for lawmakers, I know, before election season, trying to get things wrapped up. Based on what you know, how are things progressing in the House with what's the hang up? I mean, in addition to the nutrition.
Sure. Well, so the good news is that we have a bill that came out of committee markup. There are listening sessions that are beginning already this week, so Chairman Conaway and the Ag Committee members are meeting with rank and file members in listening sessions. And by listening, I mean they tell folks what's in the base bill. Folks that have ideas or concerns tell them their ideas and concerns. And that's part of the process of discovery among the family to see if, you know, how we can get to 218 votes. You know, as far as the base bill, I like it a lot, especially the farm title, the farm side of it. It does no harm to crop insurance, maintains that safety net, improves some of the issues related to, of course, the financing tools. I'm very grateful that my ARC fix got into the base bill. That was important, I think,
for North Dakota.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, my fix is very simple. Just simply states where RMA is prevalent, RMA shall rule in terms of data. When we have in North Dakota, a lot of counties that have good RMA data, not so good NAS data. Farmers don't have to fill out another set of surveys, but rather use the RMA data that exists. And the reconciling of the ARC and PLC data, I think, is best and most efficient for everybody. I was also grateful I was able to get some language in the bill, standalone bill that I introduced along with Colin Peterson and some others that co-sponsored it with me, that's a minimal effects standard for Swamp Buster. And what that does is it instructs the secretary to identify or set a standard for minimal effects for these certain, I call them nuisance wetlands, and create an exemption standard for farmers so that they neither have to ignore them nor mitigate them to the detriment both of producing food for people and producing habitat for wildlife. We've known for a long time that there were these nuisance wetlands that weren't being dealt with. There was no incentive for farmers to mitigate them because the standards that were being set by the bureaucrats was too great a price, and so consequently they just became a nuisance and a gray spot in the middle of a field. So I feel very good about those two things getting in the bill. It's a budget neutral bill, and which I think is fine given that, at a time when agriculture, of course, farm income is down 50% just since the current farm bill took effect, that's a dramatic drop to say the least, perhaps the worst in history. Even at that, the current farm bill comes in under budget. So, we feel like a budget neutral farm bill is workable. Not ideal, but it's workable.
Okay. A bunch of farm reporters and I are in town this week, and mm-hmm. we heard from House Ag Committee Chairman Pat, Chairman Pat Roberts. We heard from him, but we also heard from Conaway and Peterson this morning.
Yeah.
And both Conaway and Peterson seemed to think that the House language of the Farm Bill was a no-go in the Senate no matter what. So even if you do include the ARC County revisions in mm-hmm. the House version, mm-hmm. that you proposed,
sure.
What's to say that that'll be carried over in conference?
That's up to the senators to carry that ball. If I successfully get it in and get a bill passed here in the House that fixes ARC, then, of course, it's up to farm state senators to do the same or improve it. Either way, I think the ranking member Peterson, when Colin and Mike state that our language is probably a no-go in the Senate, what they mean is that the final bill that the president eventually signs won't look like the House bill and it won't look like the Senate bill. It'll look like a combination of the two. I think the Senate's been pretty clear they're not willing to take on any type of welfare reform or work requirements for able-bodied or work-capable adults that are on the safety net system. I think it's unfortunate that they lack that courage, but that said, we know that politics is the art of the possible. The art of the possible requires compromise, and at the end of the day, a House and a Senate compromise, it was going to have to be worked out in a conference report if in fact both chambers pass one.
like to transition over to the renewable fuel standards
sure.
for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So also had a chance to visit with EPA Administrator Pruitt this week.
Oh gosh, lucky you. He doesn't do a lot of interviews.
He doesn't do a lot of interviews, so I'm not really sure how to read that, whether he thought we'd go soft on him or if he actually does enjoy
I think he likes farm reporters, but I also think he's feeling like he needs to be a little more transparent.
I see. So we know he's pretty controversial. He has a hearing coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I'll be there.
Yeah. So
my committee.
I guess there's a lot of unknowns about many things with Pruitt, and I know in agriculture that the waiver discussion for the renewable fuel standard is a big unknown. Like, who gets those waivers and why? Do you feel like the House folks that are around Ag Committee, well, I mean, even the ag industries that they represent, do you feel like House folks understand the waiver situation and who gets those and why? Do you feel like he's being transparent about that? Or?
Yeah, so I think with regard, I know what you're talking about is you're talking about the waivers for the refineries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, as
opposed to the RVP waiver, which farm country is very supportive, as is the secretary, the administrator. So that's a good waiver. The RFS waivers that refineries are receiving, the hardship waivers, I do think are not transparent enough. The process, they may be justified, but we don't know. It's easy to understand why maybe some of the real small refineries can't meet the demand with the market that they're in, but perhaps some of the more medium-sized ones could. And I think the lack of transparency causes all of us to question the formula in the first place and the rationale for it. I think that the administrator, who I'm a big fan of and a strong supporter of, would do well to provide more of the data that allowed him to conclude what he concludes in offering those waivers. But I think we all understand, or at least we should all understand, that the lack of market penetration is a result of some regulations that are unnecessary. And if we would do the Reed vapor pressure waiver that the president and the administrator are forwarding, if we could do it either in legislation or they could do it through rules and allow something greater than E10 to be sold year-round, I think you'd have the market penetration that would pretty much eliminate the need for any type of hardship waiver. I would prefer that kind of a market solution to to the whether it's arbitrary or scientific method that the EPA uses now.
I guess why else would you view him controversial? I mean, what do farmers else if farmers are kind of looking at this discussion, how else would he be controversial?
I think I don't know that he would be to farmers so much. Most farmers like a lot of what he's done in terms of rolling back regulations, state primacy. Scott Pruitt is the first EPA administrator in my lifetime, much less my congressional career, who actually understands and is committed to federalism, that relationship between states and the federal government that the Constitution talks about and that the founders envisioned, where the states are the laboratories of democracy and that the states should have primacy over their own land and water and air. And so Scott Pruitt's been a real champion for agriculture. His rollback of the Clean Power Plan, the waters of the U.S. That he's been a proponent of rolling back, very important to farmers and to agriculture. I think where Administrator Pruitt's controversies come from are more in relation to how he conducts his own sort of administration. By that I mean spending on travel, security detail.
Excessive spending, travel.
Those kinds of things. And whether it's excessive or not could better be determined by, again, more transparency. I don't have any doubt that this administrator needs a greater security detail than previous administrators, because this administrator has done some things that, his greatest sin is he's done what he says he'd do, and he's carried out policies that the president ran on, won on, and asked him to carry out. But that means that the greater scrutiny, and as we've seen, the more radical, extreme environmental movement in this country has become, radical. And so maybe he's justifying some of these things, but the best way, I think, to put things to rest is to, be more transparent.
Thank you. And then we were just talking about your office and your transition move. You're willing to give up this office? I mean,
Isn't this nice?
As you run for Senate?
I don't know. Senator's offices might be bigger than this. I'm not sure, actually. I've never considered it. What it has come down to is, where can I best serve the people of North Dakota? And, with a razor-thin 51-49 majority for Republicans in the United States Senate, it has become increasingly apparent that one vote matters. And if my one vote in the United States Senate can matter as much as one vote has been mattering the last couple of years, then I think it's an appropriate move for me to run the risk. And granted, it is some risk, but I think that when you're given the opportunities that I've been given in life, you always have to be looking forward, looking for ways that you can make a bigger contribution. And for me and for my family, we've decided that our opportunity to make a bigger contribution is to run for the United States Senate, even though it's, you know, there's two of them instead of just one from North Dakota. There are only 100 as opposed to 435 in the country. So it provides for more opportunity to influence.
What do you do if you don't win the election? What's next for you then?
Oh, I'll look for some other way to make a contribution, I suspect. I'll get to spend more time with my family and more time at home, I imagine. But I really haven't thought about that, to be honest. We're going to give everything we have to win this race and to serve North Dakota in the United States Senate. It would be a high honor to be able to do that, to help our country and help our state. Should it not work out, we'll cross that bridge at that time.
And if it does work out, how do you know, there's been a, I think in farm country at least, agriculture is applauded on working in a bipartisan manner. Taking that Democratic seat out on the Senate side kind of changes the game a little bit on, how do you work in a bipartisan manner to get things done then if, you know, you are in the seat as the
Sure.
senator?
Well, let's look at a couple of things. There's a few things. For example, we know and we've heard it over and over and over again how the Affordable Care Act is hurting farming. It's hurt farmers, ranchers, people in small business, decimated in some cases. The cost of health care and the access problems have been exacerbated by that law. We failed to overturn that law by one vote in the United States Senate. Same is true of a rollback of some regulations, some of the banking regulations that we've been not being able to roll back that have hurt lending in farm country. So, bipartisanship is a nice idea and it's a noble goal and would always should be looked at. When you have one member from each party from a state delegation that cancels out each other's votes, that bipartisanship just means that you don't have a vote and you don't move the ball forward. So I don't look at legislation from a partisan viewpoint. I look at what's good for North Dakota. And if it's a Democratic bill that's good for North Dakota, I vote for it. If it's a Republican bill that's good for North Dakota, I vote for it. Just so happens that in North Dakota, most good ideas that are in sync with mainstream North Dakota come from Republicans.
Okay.